Thank you, Moses. I'm going to read from the book 1 John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the three who testify, because the Spirit is the truth, for there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So, Trinity Sunday. We've had a series by Pastor Steve on the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. So you all know about the Trinity, don't you? In fact, you could all probably come up and give this sermon much better than me. So many religions, probably nearly all religions, have as their prime pursuit a singular exercise, which is a personal struggle to find peace before a transcendentally superior or powerful deity, a god. Christianity is different. From the beginning, in Eden, we see that God was busy revealing himself to humanity. And meanwhile, Satan was attempting to obscure the character of God so as to alienate humanity from their creator. And unfortunately, this worked pretty well. So the Trinity is not a theological doctrine. It's a relationship. It's not a doctrine you can prove from Scripture, unfortunately, or learn in theological college. It's the personal revelation on the part of God, of the personhood of God, as being constituted of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it comes from a relationship, not in a classroom. Modern culture, postmodern culture, has brought us to a place where spirituality is rife. And the question is not really so much as, does God exist, but is God good? And if God is good, which God is good? I grew up in church. I always believed in God, but I had a terrible relationship with God because I didn't know God. Three common obstacles from knowing God is believing in God but not in his paternity, not knowing him as Father. Believing in the Son but not in his deity, believing he was just a teacher, just human like us. And believing in the Spirit but not as holy. Many people believe in the Spirit as some form of force but do not worship the Spirit as holy. Paternity, deity, holiness. We have all sorts of problematic metaphors when we try and teach about the Trinity. Here's a couple. You heard this one? Water. Forms of water. Solid, liquid, and gas. People talk about that. They try and explain that as a way to talk about the Trinity. It's a problematic metaphor because water cannot be solid, liquid, and gas all at the same time. It can only be solid or liquid or gas. When you think about trying to explain the Trinity in that way, that's saying that God can only be Father at one point in time, Son at one point in time, Spirit at one point in time, but he can't be all three at the same time. Here's another problematic metaphor, is an egg. You've got the shell, you've got the yolk, you've got the albumen. This is also problematic because you can have shell on its own and it's not an egg. You can have the albumen on its own, but it's not an egg. If you have the Father, you have God. If you have the Son, you have God. If you have the Spirit, you have God. Here's another problematic metaphor. The sun, light, heat, and gas. But again, it's like the water metaphor. It doesn't hold up. The maths is bad. That's the problem. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Right? Oh. 1 / 1 + 1 = 1. That's... I'm not very good at maths. I failed maths, actually. You can probably tell. But this is sometimes how we talk about the Trinity, and it's not right. In fact, the First Council of Nicaea, I took this picture with my phone of the First Council of Nicaea in 325, was convened precisely to establish the doctrine of God, of the Trinity. There were people that were asserting that Jesus wasn't God, that he was someone else. And they convened and they decided that, they came up with a statement, that God is one truly perfect, unified, divine essence comprising three diverse, co-equal, and co-eternal divine persons. So that's it. We can just pack up now. I mean, we're all good. Still really difficult to comprehend. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. Doesn't make sense, really. But here, I'm venturing on a couple of examples. This is the strongest seat. Well, it's the strongest form. I put a message in our leaders' chat and asking if anyone had a three-legged stand, and no one did. But actually, Neil pointed out quite rightly this morning, if you just look around, look how many things there are which have got three legs on the stage. The tripod is the most stable form. If you have a four-legged chair and you put it on uneven ground, it'll wobble. But if you've got a tripod and you put it on uneven ground, it's still stable. How about triangle? The triangle is the strongest geometric shape. Architects love it because you can put it under any amount of pressure and it will absorb that pressure and remain stable, remain rigid. Brilliant. And then you've got the strongest relational model. Oh, hang on a minute. Two's company, three's a crowd, right? Is that true? I would venture that the Trinity is the strongest relational model. I'm going to read this because I don't want you to think that I wrote it. The Trinity does not support a hierarchical chain of command. It's not, one is not subordinate to the other. It's not the Spirit subordinate to the Son who's subordinate to the Father. But rather a perichoretic, I'll explain what that means, and collegial approach. Perichoretic means mutual indwelling. That each of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each indwell one another. In fact, you could think about it in the way that they've poured themselves completely out into the other, so that they almost only exist in the other. And then the other's poured themselves out completely into the other, and that continues, and they continue pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. And collegial, they're working together, they're doing this, constantly working together, they're constantly operating in the same, so there was the same purpose. This illuminates for us an understanding of the nature of people and ethics, the ethics of relationships and in organizations. Inclusiveness, community, and freedom are the ethical values that find their origin in the interrelationality within the Trinity. I'll say that again. Inclusiveness, community, and freedom are the ethical values that find their origin in the interrelationality within the Trinity. These three ways of relating should characterize human relationships in organizations, and they're especially important for affirming those who work within them. Trinity is our example of how we should be working together. It's not always how we are working together, but here's a cultural metaphor. I'm a Liverpool fan. So this is Kenny Dalglish and Roy Evans and Ronnie Moran. They were the managers when I was growing up. But Liverpool had this practice, they called it the boot room. And this was their style of management, where it was this exact same thing, this perichoretic, this approach where they just all were concerned about the next guy. They weren't worried about themselves and their own glory. They were just doing it all for the club. They were all doing it for each other and they were doing it for the club. And it was incredibly successful. And they built a dynasty on this. It was originally Shankly, Paisley and Fagan, and then it was Paisley, Fagan and Moran, and then it was Dalglish, Moran and Evans. And it stopped and Liverpool weren't as successful anymore. I'll give you another metaphor. This is a modern metaphor. This is three dual chemical compounds formed out of three elements. And again, I'm going to read this so you don't think I'm clever, because I'm not. I'm repeating really what I said earlier. In the doctrine of the Trinity, there is a mutual indwelling of the persons in one another, perichoresis. You can see it here. So if you look at the top one, the F, you've got the Father, and then within the Father, it's the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then on the bottom, your left, is the Son, and within the Son, you've got the Father and the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus was born, how was he born? The Father sent the Spirit to hover over Mary, and Jesus was born. And then with the Spirit, again, you're right, H, you got the Father and the Spirit. Augustine, Saint Augustine, and also Jonathan Edwards, believed that the Spirit was almost a product of the love between the Father and the Son that was so strong. They recognized each other, the extreme qualities of beauty and truth and justice and all those things that Moses was just praying about. And that they recognized themselves so much and their appreciation for one another was so strong that the love for each other became another part of themselves and just constantly circled round. And it just does your head in when you think about it. But so the chemical compound of the Father and Son, formed with Augustine's notion, is that the Spirit is the love between Father and Son in an appropriated sense. Together they breathe forth the Holy Spirit. This is still poor, but the essence is not identical to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an essence. He's a person. Comparatively in the metaphor, if the elements hydrogen and oxygen are combined, we get a compound called water, which has very special characteristics different from its constituent elements. Each person, each divine person emerges from the combined indwelling of the other two. The Father emerges from the glory brought to him by the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Son emerges from the combination of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit originates from the love between the Father and the Son. It's an impossibility in earthly chemistry, but it just improves the metaphor, because what we're talking about is transcendentally beyond our understanding in a way. Each person becomes a trinity in itself. The Father is the Son and the Spirit. The Son is the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Father and the Son. The Trinity is its own essence according to its unity. It is its own essence according to its unity. God's nature is neither exclusively relational nor exclusively metaphysical. It is both in an incomprehensible way. It's neither exclusively relational nor exclusively metaphysical. It is both in an incomprehensible way. All three are trinities in themselves. All three are substances in themselves, although predicated by virtue of their relationality. Some more bad maths, but slightly better. 3 + 3 + 3 = 3. Or 3 / 3 + 3 = 3. Still wrong, though, because 3 + 3 + 3 = 1. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and with all your strength. Unity calls for unity, demands unity, inspires unity. Should. I'm I'm going to read you some passages from Scripture. This is from one of my favourite portions of Scripture, and the more you hear me preach, the more you'll realise that I say this about every passage, but this is genuinely one of my favourite passages. It's from John, Jesus talking to the disciples in John from 14 to 17, just before he's about to leave and be crucified. And he's just telling them, he's pouring out to them everything he can before he goes. He's just blessing them with knowledge and truth and wisdom and telling them all about who God is, and because he's going and he's not going to be able to do it anymore. Just as I read these things, just concentrate on what Jesus is describing and the interplay between the respective persons of the Trinity and how they work to glorify one another, and then also in us to glorify God, but also to glorify one another, because we're supposed to be operating in the same way that the Trinity operates. I'm not going to tell you what the scriptures are. I'm just going to read. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works by the Spirit. Believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you, and will be with you, will be in you. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. If anyone loves me, they will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Or her, with them. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. When the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he does not speak of his own authority, but wherever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you of what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask in my name, he will give to you. In that day, you will ask in my name. I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf. But the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I have come from God. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son in order that your Son might glorify you. I have glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me at your side with the glory I had at your side before the world existed. Keep them in your name that they may be one as we are one. And also on the behalf of all those who believe in me through the word of the apostles, that they may also be one, that you may also be one, as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, that they also may be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory you have given to me, I have given to them, in order that they may be one just as we are one. We may be one just as they are one. I in them, and you in me, in order that they may be completed as one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them just as you have loved me. He loves us. The Father loves us just as he loved Jesus. Righteous Father, although the world does not know you, yet I have known you, and these have come to know that you sent me. And I made known to them your name and will make it known, in order that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I may be in them. Amazing, amazing, amazing. This is how the Trinity reveals themselves. The Father and the Spirit send the Son. The Son and the Spirit reveal the Father. The Father and the Spirit glorify the Son. The Son asks the Father to send the Spirit. The Father and the Son send the Spirit. The Spirit and the Son reveal God to us as Abba Father. I didn't know God as Father. I do now, because the Spirit has revealed God to me as my Father. And it changed my life. So what? And this is what the Trinity teaches us. Life is social. Existence is based upon interdependence. We can't do anything. We can't achieve anything on our own. The other takes precedence over the self. you take precedence over me. We've got to take this seriously, church, because this is what we're supposed to be doing. I'm not here to glorify myself. I'm here to pour into you. And you can then pour into the next person, and they can then pour into the next person. And at some point, it will come back. So I won't be without. I pour out all that I am, sold out for God, because it will come back. That's how it's supposed to work. I'm not supposed to be in this for myself. You're not supposed to be in this for yourself. We're supposed to be in it for each other. Love, quite literally, makes the world go round. We're here because God is loving. The earth is here because God is loving. We were created. Everything that is, it was created because God is loving, because God is good. If we want to show God to the world, then we as the church must exemplify the interrelationality of the Trinity, of the Godhead, in all its complexity, in all its unity, in all its diversity. Because this is the manner in which God has ordained that knowledge of him will fill the face of the whole earth. And what could be better than that? Amen. Thank you.